Today, property signs for the 26th of July, 2021. Hello, again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. In today's show, we look at the bank's warning that some Australians will likely lose their homes thanks to the lockdowns. And we also consider the latest lending stats from New Zealand, which once again shows how regulatory and monetary policy impacts flows and so prices. And then we look at the latest on property from the US. And finally, how ASIC will recover its costs from the industry this year. And it is indeed going to cost a lot more. Today's show is supported by Ribbon Proddy Consultants, so thanks to them. Ross McEwan, the chief executive of National Australia Bank, has told the Australian that NAB has seen a rise in customers seeking assistance or loan deferrals. The longer the lockdowns go, obviously, the more people it impacts and their financial buffers start to get hit, he said. Indeed, he also said that some Australians will lose their homes thanks to the ongoing lockdowns now affecting half of the nation. With lockdowns in New South Wales, Victoria and South Australia, banks have reinstated loan repayment deferrals in an effort to aid businesses and homeowners struggling under the restrictions. But that won't be enough to save everyone's home, CEO McEwan admitted. There will be some situations where for customers it's the best thing for them to do to put the house on the market if they themselves don't see themselves getting back into employment for a long period of time, McEwan told the ABC. NAB has not had to foreclose on any properties during the last 14 months, according to a Yahoo Finance report. Our intention is to keep homeowners in their homes as much as we possibly can and work with them. And we want to get people through this, McEwan told the ABC. It's not their fault. As lockdowns are extended in both New South Wales and Victoria, NAB has seen a 40% spike in the volume of customers asking for assistance, with their biggest worries being mortgage repayments, Yahoo Finance reported. Let's be quite clear, this hurts, McEwan said. That's why we want people to call us early so that we can intervene with them and put in place some sort of arrangements. Economists have warned that the new lockdowns could trigger a double dip recession. However, McEwan said he doesn't think the economic doldrums will last that long. We certainly look like we will be going back into negative territory, but what we have seen after each of these lockdowns is the opening up does bring economic activity back very, very quickly, he said to the ABC. And Commonwealth Bank has seen an increase in requests for home loan repayment deferrals as COVID-19 lockdowns continue, but it's not a deluge for them, the bank said. Angus Sullivan, CBA's head of retail banking, told The Australian that while the lockdowns would negatively affect economic output, it's still too early to worry about another recession. Obviously, it's a negative, he said. Whether we go into a recession or not, I think it's probably too early to tell. We need to see where the numbers go over the next week or two. Clearly, the next couple of weeks are going to be critical, and we're doing our best to make sure we're prepared for either scenario and giving as much support to customers as we can who need it. Sullivan told The Australian that the bank had communicated with more than 1 million customers about support measures, and about 30,000 people have visited the CBA support webpage. He said that so far during the current outbreak, only a couple of thousand CBA customers had chosen to defer their loan repayments, with more than half of the requests coming from New South Wales and the remainder from Victoria. There's a decent chunk of people that are just finding out about what's available, Sullivan said. It's still a relatively modest number of people requesting deferrals if you think back to the deferrals that we put in place last year. When we went into that first round of very large lockdowns, we did about 158,000. This time, CBA is not extending the loan term for customers who defer repayments, the Australian reported. That means when payments resume, they will be higher. And last week, APRA threw its support behind banks offering support to lockdown-affected borrowers. Banks will not be required to retreat deferred payments as arrears or a restructuring. At the height of the pandemic last year, business and home loans on deferrals peaked at around 896,000, or about $266 billion worth of loans. By March, that number had shrunk to just $14 billion in loans. Now, over in New Zealand, the Reserve Bank of New Zealand released their credit statistics for May 2021. The impact of recent changes to investor LVR requirements are clear, once again highlighting the direct impact credit regulation has on new mortgages and, of course, therefore on home prices, which rose way too fast over the last year. They say that total monthly new mortgage commitments was $9.8 billion in May. That's up $0.4 billion or 5.1% from last month. And that's a new high for the month of May in any year. New mortgage commitments to investors were $1.6 billion in May, declining from $1.7 billion last month. And that's an increase of 75.4%. And first home buyers were at $1.8 billion, up from $1.6 billion in April, an increase of 119.4% from last year. New mortgage commitments to other owner-occupiers were up from $5.2 billion in April to $5.5 billion. That's increasing 112.5% over the year. And investors accounted for 17.6% of new mortgage commitments, down from a share of 19.7% last month. First home buyers had a share of 19.7% in the month, up from 18.5%, while the other owner-occupiers rose from 60.9% to 61.6%. From the 1st of May 21, LVR restrictions for investors were further raised to a maximum of 5% of new lending at LVRs above 60%, and LVR restrictions for owner-occupied properties were set at a maximum of 20% for new lending at LVRs above 80%. The share of new mortgage commitments with high LVR to investors were down from 37.6% in April to 32.1%, marking the sixth consecutive month of decline. And first home buyers increased from 35.9% in April to 37.7%, while other owner-occupiers rose from 2.8% to 3%. And the regional analysis shows that investment faded since March 21, while non-Auckland commitments without investment property collateral is higher than that in the Auckland area. But the point I want to make again is that clearly cheap credit and poor lending standards have boosted prices way too high, and now they're trying to claw it back. They've got a long way to go still. And turning to the US, Moody's said that on the 20th of July, the US Census Bureau announced that housing starts rose by 6.3% in June from May, beating consensus estimates and up 29% from depressed year earlier levels. Residential building permits fell 5.1%, with single family permits declining 6.1%. in June compared with May. And on the 22nd of July, the National Association of Realtors reported that although existing home sales increased 1.4% in June from May, after four consecutive monthly declines, available inventory expanded slightly compared to the sales pace for a fifth straight month. Together, the data suggests an ongoing modest improvement in available housing supply that, when combined with growing affordability constraints, should help dampen the pace of US home price appreciation, they say. House prices have surged since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic and were up 14.6% year over year in April 2021. The rise partly reflects the sudden demand for larger living spaces outside of dense urban areas, with home purchase demand also bolstered by a plunge in interest rates fueled by aggressive monetary policy. In addition to secular supply challenges created by longer-term underbuilding compared with US population growth, available supply was further reduced by construction delays initially linked to COVID restrictions and later shortages in building materials and labour, a period of low existing home listings amid uncertainty and an ongoing pause in mortgage foreclosures. The current double-digit pace of price appreciation, the fastest in at least 30 years according to the S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller US National Home Price Index data, is not sustainable, they say. A reversal that wipes out the price gains since the pandemic that has been credit positive across a wide range of sectors, though, is not likely either, because fundamental factors rather than speculative excesses drove the surge, they say. Instead, they expect that the pace of appreciation is peaking and should moderate in the second half of this year. Appreciation is likely to eventually retreat to annual percentage gains in the low to mid-single digits over the next several years, with a possible short-term correction from a temporary peak along the way, they say. Although home purchase demand will remain supported by strong employment gains, income growth and demographics, weakened affordability for potential buyers will temper demand. And the NAR's Housing Affordability Index indicates that the median home purchase affordability has already declined to around the levels seen in 2018. And two additional factors that will soften demand for housing as the pandemic recedes and the economy recovers are a rise in mortgage interest rates as the economy recovers and easing new demand related to working from home as flexible employment arrangements settle into a new equilibrium. On the supply side, the strong increase in construction, which has significantly lagged permits issued since March 2020, will help relieve price pressure. Improvement in the availability of building materials and easing costs would help expand the inventory of housing stock, but factors such as labour shortages and wage growth in the construction sector will likely prevent input costs from falling significantly. However, some distressed homeowners are now benefiting from payment relief, will decide to sell, and foreclosure supply will begin to ramp up, although they do not expect extensive foreclosures to result from the overhang. The supply and demand drivers of housing are starting to normalise, they say, but factors such as market momentum and unexpectedly low interest rates could help to sustain fast price appreciation. If US housing does not cool down, fast appreciation could encourage speculative activity and other harmful behaviour, such as aggressive financial management or greater than expected weakening in mortgage underwriting, they say. So once again, it's worth underscoring the reason prices are booming is because rates are very low and mortgage lending is significantly buoyant. Those two things are correctly correlated, of course, but it also means that if rates start to rise, home prices are likely to slide, and those with larger mortgages will still be under significant financial burdens. So the dynamics we're seeing in Australia and New Zealand are in fact also playing out in the US. Now back here in Australia, ASIC has laid out a number of priorities for its policing of the credit and deposit sector, particularly focusing on predatory high-cost lending during the COVID pandemic and hardship assistance provided by lenders. The mortgage broker best interest duty, introduced at the beginning of this year, has also been added to the regulator's priorities for the sector, alongside dedicated Royal Commission reforms for the sector, such as reference checking. As a result, banks, mortgage brokers and lenders could receive sizably larger bills for ASIC's industry levies starting in January 2022. ASIC has published its draft cost recovery implementation statement for the 2021 financial year, with expectations of what each finance sector will be charged to fund its regulation. The levies, which are based on ASIC's regulatory costs and business metrics, will be finalised in December and invoiced in January next year. The regulator has invited feedback on the draft statement, which can be submitted until the 13th of August, and ASIC is forecast to recover $44.5 million in total levies from the deposit-taking and credit sector, contributing to a grand total of $337.5 million to be recovered across financial industries overall. Zeroing in on credit intermediaries, including mortgage and finance brokers, ASIC has estimated it will collect $8.1 million to recover costs, 17% more than it cost to regulate intermediaries in 2019-20, when it totaled $6.9 million. However, the actual cost for the 2019-20 year has been 32% smaller than ASIC's initial estimate, which was $10.1 million. The cost recovery statement has also outlined an indicative levy for intermediaries of $1,000 plus $96.55 per credit representative, raising the costs for each representative by 51% from 2019-20, when intermediaries were charged $1,000 plus $61.76 per representative. Around $1.3 million from the intermediaries levies will cover supervision and surveillance, while $2.3 million has been delegated to enforcement. For deposit product providers, including banks, credit unions and building societies, the estimated cost recovery amounts to $4.5 million. That's a 45% surge from when it cost $3.1 million in 2019-20. And ASIC has given an indicative levy of $2,000 per entity plus $1.71 per 1 million of total deposits above 10 million, rising from the previous year's $1.12 per 1 million of total deposits above 10 million threshold. About $2 million of the deposit product providers' levies will be dedicated to supervision and surveillance, while $1.2 million has been assigned to enforcement. However, ASIC has removed an additional levy for large financial institutions, which it charged in 2018-19 and 2019-20 under the cost recovery levy regulation. In 2019-20, it collected a flat levy of $1.3 million from each of the five largest institutions, the Big Four banks and Macquarie Group, for regulation that had followed on from the Royal Commission. On the other hand, credit providers, including small and medium firms, face a collective estimated cost recovery of around $29.5 million in 2021. And that's an 8% rise on the year before, when the cost of regulating credit providers was $27.3 million. And ASIC has issued an indicative levy for credit providers of $2,000 plus 54 cents per $10,000 of credit provided above $100 million. The year before, it had been 51 cents per $10,000 of credit above 100 million. Small and medium credit providers, more specifically, are expected to cough up a collective $2.2 million for cost recovery. That's 10% more than what it cost the year before. An ASIC's indicative levy for the group of lenders is $16.61 per $10,000 of credit provided under small and medium credit contracts. And that's a 9% rise from the $15.14 per $10,000 of credit charged the year before. So you can see here a couple of interesting observations. Firstly, the big banks are effectively getting a price cut, whilst everybody else is being asked to pay quite a lot more. And in terms of equity, I wonder whether that's right. Because, of course, the large organisations are very much the centre of gravity, both in terms of lending and other financial services, but also in, frankly, taking consumers to the cleaners. I think that this needs to be reviewed. Personally, my own view is that large players should be charged a whole lot more. That said, of course, somehow we need to try and actually tie the levies to the success of ASIC. Because at the moment, ASIC seems to make quite a lot of noise, but actually, I question whether it really has done that much. And of course, the responsible lending obligations were about to be removed until it was blocked in the Senate. So I have to say, this whole issue of how the financial sector is regulated and who pays for it looks to me to be, frankly, a muddy mess. Well, there again, perhaps that is not surprising, given what we know of the way the regulators and the industry dance with each other. And that, of course, has not changed and probably is unlikely to change, and despite what the Royal Commission showed us all. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.